If you could describe the ideal Christian church, what would it look like? This is Carl Kusart from Walwal University School of Theology. Welcome to Good Word, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we continue in our series of Bible lessons based on Paul's letter to the Galatians. And to help us explore this important subject, I've invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Dr. Paul Dibdahl and Dr. Dave Thomas, who are professors here in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me once again. Today we draw to the last chapter in Paul's letter to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, where he begins to talk about the Christian church. And we start off with this question. If you could describe the ideal Christian church, what would it look like? It's kind of surprising here when we talk about the church that right away Paul confronts us with maybe a surprising issue because he says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." This strikes me because immediately it indicates here that there should be no surprise that churches are messy places. But how does a church deal with difficult issues that enter into their midst? What do you think about Paul's instruction to the Galatians on how to deal with people who don't always live up to the standards that God has for them? What do you think about the church in this regard here? Mistakes that happen.
You know, I think this is a very sobering piece of counsel here because so often, churches, in order to protect themselves, react precisely the opposite to what Paul has done here. They boot people out. And I think there's a time when people do need to be booted out, but it should never be done with a sense of, aha, we got them. Mm-hmm. I think it should be done with a great sense of sorrow. And only after working, falling over backwards, bending over backwards to help a person be restored. I mean, I'm very struck by that those of you who are spiritually minded, try and redeem that person. Mm-hmm. Don't judge them. Don't vilify them. Go and find out how can we bring restoration into your experience as a result of this. And I really wish that dynamic was far more prevalent in churches.
I think sometimes we get the sense that the more spiritual a person is, the more you would want to avoid them if you were a sinner because of how harsh they might be with you. And here it's just the opposite. Those who are spiritual are the ones that will deal with the sin in a gentle way. Yeah. In a gentle way.
Yeah. And what I like about it, too, is that sometimes we read this verse the wrong way. This verse is not talking here about deliberate sin. Paul deals with that elsewhere, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. But he says,
or persistent sin.
If anyone is caught in any transgression. Now, sometimes we think, caught. Okay, so we're out scoping out, what people are doing. Oh, I caught you. Yeah. You're over. But the sense here is not caught in that sense, but it's someone who finds themselves unexpectedly caught in the net of sin. How do we deal with someone who has fallen, who's made mistakes in their personal life, and how do we work with them as a body of believers? And Paul here says, deal with them gently. We have a case in 1 Corinthians 5 where there's someone sleeping with a stepmother, and Paul says, in this case,
pitch him out.
You need to put him out so he realizes how serious it is. But here, Paul's not dealing with that type of situation. This is a slightly different situation. He says, we need to be sensitive with how we treat people because many of us find ourselves sometimes in the wrong place at the wrong time and a poor decision that follows.
And I don't know if people would agree with me on this, but I think generally speaking, this is the condition that people find themselves in. I think most people want to be decent people.
Yes, yes.
But they find themselves entrapped, and their past history, their personality, their place in life, all those things lead to a susceptibility to this kind of entrapment.
So what do? We come alongside those people and encourage them, invite them back into participation in church life? What do we do? Most people like this don't need a recitation of their wrongs. They already know them, and they're quite beaten up by them.
Right. Support, encouragement. I like here he points out, he says, the spirit of gentleness. So this is, not condoning, proving their sin, but letting them know that we find forgiveness and grace in Jesus Christ.
Well, and I like the word restoration here, restore him gently. Mm-hmm. That's the goal, I think, is that they be fully restored to the community and that their relationship with God be
In fact, this is a medical term, I mean, of fullness of a healing you bring. But yet at the same time, it gives us a warning, which is keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted, which tells me that that we need to be very careful. Yeah. Sometimes we think, well, there's some things I would never do. Well, I think by the power of Christ, I hope that's true, but I realize as a human, all of us could stoop to levels without God's Spirit in our lives that we would never imagine. So let's not think that somehow we're above something, mm-hmm. because it's only by God's grace that we truly are not lost sinners.
There but for the grace of God go I.
And see, this is why I think arrogance and self-sufficiency is so destructive to true religion.
Mm.
Okay? Because if you ever lose the sense that you are a sinner saved by grace and that you could fall back into the same hole again,
you're in trouble.
You are on a pretty slippery soil.
Mm-hmm.
And so on what grounds then do you lord it over somebody who has been caught in sin? I mean, I think Jesus and the woman caught in adultery is a wonderful, wonderful example. Jesus could have condemned him, but he didn't. He didn't say a word. She already knew. She was already condemned in her own mind. And when he said to her, go and sin no more, that was the salvation. That was a woman restored back to respectability by a kind act.
I like how Paul says here, goes right along with what you just said in verse 3. He says, if anyone thinks he's something, right?
if you think you're a big shot.
Yeah, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But to go back to this issue of temptation, Paul talks about keep watch of yourselves, evaluate, test your own works, etc. What steps, do we need to take, or do we even need to take steps in our spiritual lives to avoid falling into temptation? What do you think? In the Christian life, should there be a conscious plan in our lives, or how do we really live this life?
Well, I'm going to start with something that I don't think I would normally begin with, but I think simply being a part of a spiritual community is itself a protective measure for us. It calls us to a kind of accountability, and when we begin to move down roads that maybe we shouldn't, that community can be a great help to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you have friends with whom you can be transparent or who know you, they can oftentimes sense when you are
getting near
trouble, and they will pull you back.
Yeah, I think that's the value of a community of believers. And realizing your own limitations, too. Don't put yourself in harm's way. Yeah. If you're someone who came out of an alcoholic environment, then I wouldn't make some sort of ministry downtown on Skid Row probably the place I would go.
Yeah.
We have to be sensitive and careful.
There's the personal element, too, which I think this is where we might normally begin. Just a daily kind of opening of our heart to God and a prayer for God's Spirit to be with us. That's maybe the central way.
But I agree with you, Carl. I think that, oftentimes when you are in the midst of temptation, it's almost impossible to resist it. But you have many opportunities to avoid that circumstance where a decision could have been made much more easily.
Yes. Don't put yourself in those circumstances because you're foolish if you do.
Yeah.
When you're playing with fire.
In my experience, I know of a missionary situation where there was a man who, as a missionary, devoted, but fell into very strong temptation, and he was kind of isolated from others. But when the community realized what was happening, they did go and physically removed him from that place because of their care and concern.
In love, they went and got him.
He couldn't do it himself. Yeah. He wanted to stay there,
wow.
but they wouldn't let him. They physically removed him.
That sounds like an example of what Paul said. He said, bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. I mean, that's true, genuine care and fellowship, not just simply having a checklist to make sure everyone in the church is measuring up.
Or it looks like he's failing, so let's get rid of him.
Yeah. Very, very powerful. Well, I think that is too, and Paul mentions here also the very fact that we should be careful what we sow, because what we sow, we will reap.
Mm.
And garbage in, garbage out. And I think that You know, there's a danger in our society today, particularly when we emphasize, which we do rightfully so, justification by faith, for example, that somehow a message is communicated that what you do doesn't matter, that behavior is not important. I think behavior is important. It doesn't save you, but I think we need to be very careful on what we watch on television, what we listen to on the radio, what we see in the internet, what we read in the bookstores, all things that can set us up for real struggles and challenges in our lives.
But not only that, you know, if you only think about something, it's very different than if you actually do it. Hmm. Not only in its consequence legally, but in its effect on you. Hmm. Yeah. But I want to also mention that whatever you sow, you'll reap. It's a strange thing in life how people who are very harsh in their practice oftentimes at some point experience harshness. It comes back to bite them. Whereas those who are kind and gentle and loving, that as their lives progress, they become the recipients of that very kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, I wonder, I don't think God is up there meddling and saying, well, you are good, so now you're going to have good. I think there's a consequential thing that this is the way life is constituted.
Very powerful. Gentlemen, thank you again for your thoughts. I think if the church is to be God's visible presence in the world today, then we as Christians need to invest in spiritual things. We need to make time to turn off the television, get off the internet, stop doing whatever is consuming our time, and spend more time praying, listening to spiritual programs, reading the Bible. If we only sow to the flesh, then we will only reap hurt, heartache, and turmoil, and our spiritual lives and churches will shrivel up and die in the process. So let's capitalize this week on the opportunities we have now to invest in those things that will yield an eternal heavenly harvest. Well, as we continue to consider Paul's letter to the Galatians this quarter, we still have a special offer for you, our listeners. It's a brand new book I've written especially for this study. It's called Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church. Each chapter is full of spiritual insights and stories that really help to explain Paul's letter in more detail than we could ever do here in our radio program. And it seeks to show the relevance that it has for our lives today. This week's chapter is entitled, The Body of Christ. We'll be glad to send you a copy this week. We're asking for a donation of $20 or more when you request this insightful book. I'm sure you'll find it well worth it, and your gift will support the ongoing radio ministry of Good Word. To request your copy of Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church, call us this week at 509-527-2194. The number again is 509-527-2194, or go online to wallawalla.edu/goodword, or just send us an email at goodword@wallawalla.edu. We do ask for a donation of $20 when you request Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church. Remember also that our past and present programs are available to download or for listening online. You can learn more about that at our webpage, wallawalla.edu/goodword. Thank you once again for listening to today's program, and please join us again next week as we continue to explore Galatians and the difference God wants it to make in our lives. Until then, for Good Word, I'm Carl Cosart.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.